Well, I took a little bit of a different tack from some of the earlier talks, if some of you have been here for this session. My name is Beth Mitchum, and I'm at UC Davis, and I work a lot with the Horticulture Innovation Lab that you've been hearing about from some of the previous speakers. But I'm also a post-harvest biologist, and in my career, I have just had the opportunity to travel so many places. I do over 100,000 miles a year, have for the last 4 or 5 years anyway. And, you know, certainly all these travels, you're learning about, you know, you're going to scientific meetings, you're learning at the conference, you're visiting with farmers, and you're learning about horticulture. But along the way, you're learning about the culture of the place you're visiting, and you're just having this tremendous opportunity to see some wonderful things. And so I put together just a short snapshot of some of the wonderful things I've been able to see in my travels, and I just picked out a few here and there, and there are so many that I left out. And then I have a little bit of Horticulture Innovation Lab experiences thrown in there as well. So yeah, as I said, the many hats of Beth Mitchum, I kind of have these two different roles at UC Davis, but they both give me the opportunity to travel. So I'll start off with this opportunity I've had for 2 years in a row to go to Piura, Peru, to offer a post-harvest module in the master, it's a master's in agriculture program that they have there. And so while I was in Peru, the first time I went, I had a chance to go to visit with mango farms, and I got to see really the excellent post-harvest handling of mangoes there in Peru. They take a lot of care to make sure they don't get any latex staining on the mangoes. Got some really great photos that have been useful for me in a variety of talks. We also did some lab experiments as part of our efforts there to train the students about post-harvest handling. But from there, I went on to Arequipa, which is further down, closer to Lima, and I saw some interesting wildlife with the iguanas, but also visited some beautiful monasteries. So this is just a picture of one of the beautiful buildings I had the chance to visit. Saw some cultural dancing, of course the llamas. This is all staged for the tourists there. We did go to Colca Canyon, but don't have any great photos because it turned out to be one of those days where the fog just came in so hard that really we couldn't hardly see our hands in front of us, much less the canyon. Again, some beautiful cultural sites. This actually is an old washing station, so the water would come down this channel and you could divert the water into your basin there and then use that space to wash your clothes, and it looked like it worked quite well. Then on the second trip, I had the opportunity to go to the coast, which was very nice, but then I took a train and went to see Machu Picchu. And if you've never had the chance to do that, I highly recommend it. So it was during the rainy season, so the rivers were really, really rushing quite full. And actually, the hotel I stayed in, I heard this roaring sound from inside. I opened the curtains, and you could see the river just rushing right by. It looked like it was brushing the side of the building. But my phone app told me that it was not going to rain the next day when I went to Machu Picchu. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, I had to get in line for the bus, leaving behind my rain hat, raincoat, and all that gear, because I didn't want to carry it around all day. And after about 10 minutes standing in line, the sky opened up and it started pouring down rain. And I thought, well, if I go back to my hotel, I'm going to miss the bus. So I said, well, I'll figure it out. So I got to the place, and luckily I found a guy selling ponchos for $1. So I looked just like these other folks in my poncho as we got in line to make the climb up to the top of the mountain for the views of Machu Picchu from above. So it was quite an arduous climb, especially in the pouring rain. It poured rain the entire time up. Luckily, though, when we got to the top, the sky cleared,
and we were able to get some just beautiful pictures of Machu Picchu, which is this ancient civilization. And later I had a chance to go down and walk around and see it up close. Really just very magical. A lot of times I just pinch myself at the opportunities that I have because I get to travel to all these places, and I just highly encourage you to always take a couple days to go see some things. And of course, as a post-harvest biologist, I always have to go see the produce at the produce market. And they actually had some beautiful produce, a lot of tropical and subtropical fruit that I don't always get to see. So I really enjoyed that. So I had an opportunity to go to Singapore a few years ago for the World Cold Chain Summit to reduce food waste. And Singapore is an interesting city, and actually this is the Garden by the Bay, I believe it's called. And it was actually right outside my hotel. And I mean, it's like a fantasy world. I mean, it looks like something out of a movie, and yet this is actually what the garden looks like. Really magical place and beautiful plants. Just a great place to walk around and see the sights. And this is the hotel that I stayed in. It's an amazing hotel that has actually, at the top level, it has a restaurant and an infinity pool. And it's just an incredible place to visit. And to stay there was pretty amazing. And then this is just what the bay looks like at night. Very typical of lots of cities. And they have an active port there as well. Just recently, I had the chance to go to Egypt. With my second trip to Egypt, I had been there probably 20 years ago. And so, of course, the typical tourist things in Egypt would be, especially in the Cairo area, would be to see the pyramids and Giza. And I had visited the pyramids 20 years ago, and I went inside the pyramids then. So one thing I learned is that my claustrophobia has gotten worse, because I couldn't even entertain the idea of going inside this time. But I did get to appreciate it from the outside, and we also saw the Sphinx. One of the new things that I hadn't seen 20 years ago in the lower corner here is this boat. This ship, really, is probably a better way to describe it. It was buried under the ground near the pyramid site. It apparently was built and prepared to take the king to the next world. And so it was never used in water, but this thing is made out of this incredible, beautiful wood and planks that must have been 30 foot long, just solid plank of wood that this boat was made out of. Very impressive. So they have excavated that, and now they have it in a museum there next to the pyramids. We went to the shopping bazaars, which is quite a feast for the eyes. All sorts of interesting things to see, colorful glass and lanterns and beautiful tapestry and fabrics, and of course the produce market as well. We saw some vendors selling various products. A fellow on the top left was selling tuna or prickly pear cactus. Here we have some fresh baked bread and then spices. And they were also selling roasted corn on the cob, which my colleagues here are enjoying. Beautiful architecture, of course. It was a very nice trip. Okay, so shifting a little bit to some of the activities I've been involved with under the Horticulture Innovation Lab. We've had a number of projects in Bangladesh, and a couple trips ago on the way to Bangladesh, I stopped overnight in Hong Kong, and I had never been to Hong Kong before, so I wanted to go out and see some of the sites. Well, I had a very short period of time, and so what I ended up doing, the hotel I stayed in had this nice guide to street art in the town. And so it would give you the address and location of all these different art exhibits or street art that you could see. And so I, as a way of seeing the city, I went around and tried to find all the different locations. and took some pictures of the street art. And along the way, I wandered into some beautiful religious sites. And so here's some of the street art that I saw there. If you've never had the opportunity to do this, a lot of cities have this now. And it's just incredible, the artistic talent. And some of these were just in back alleys on buildings that were like falling down, but just some incredible art. This one, you can kind of get a sense of the scale from this woman standing in front of it. It was actually very large. It looked like the side of an apartment building, just built into the steps here. So then, going on to Bangladesh, I've been to Bangladesh several times on Horticulture Innovation Lab projects, and I find the people to be so friendly and so welcoming, and the women especially are so beautiful in their colorful outfits. These women were telling us about their experience using this solar dryer that we had introduced there, how it was working for them, and how they were using that food to feed their family. And they showed us the traditional way that they dry food, either on a mat on the ground or up on the roof. And so it was certainly an educational experience for us to understand how that technology was being received and what were some of the challenges of using it. But along the way, you get to know people and their culture and what's important to them. We also came across these men who had harvested these bitter melon. And the bitter melon actually looked really nice. They were in really pretty good condition coming off the plant. And they were on the roadside and they were weighing the bitter melons and then putting them into these sacks for transportation. And you can hopefully you can see on the left that sack is just stacked up. Not only is it a really big sack to start with, but they've added a little bit extra on top. And they're shoving the bitter melons down the side of this sack to get a certain amount in there. I don't know if it was a certain weight or what it was they were after, but you could just hear the spines being ripped off the sides of those melons. And as a post-harvest person, I was just cringing inside and trying to figure out how in the world could we get them to change those practices. Because this is an ingrained practice that you see it in so many places. But of course, we went to the wholesale market, just some incredible visual images of all the different vegetables and fruit and dried fish and whatnot. And this gentleman is weighing this product for sale. And our team has made some incredible friends, including the local staff who worked with us for 3 years. And also the farmers who, in this case, had installed a cold room on their property along with the project. And everywhere I go, I really enjoy meeting the people, but especially the children. And the children are generally curious when you show up because you look different than probably anyone they've ever seen. And so they always seem really excited to have their picture taken and they want to look at you. And I just love getting photos of the children. I had a trip to Nepal a few years ago, and we went to this village where they were doing some conservation ag work with one of our projects. And all the women who'd been cooperating with the project came out in their traditional clothes. So they each were dressed slightly, groups of them dressed slightly differently. These women were just stunning. They were so beautiful, so friendly, and so curious about us. So this picture at the bottom, they had taken the hat off my head and put it on themselves, but they wanted to have a picture with me. It was really very sweet. I had a great time. Okay, so next I want to talk about a trip I made to South Africa. I was invited to participate in this conference to talk about the contributions of indigenous fruits and vegetables for nutrition. And the conference went really well. I talked about a range of different things, including this particular project that showed that if you increase the production of traditional vegetables, if you work with farmers on their attitudes about these traditional vegetables, which really sounds similar to what Lauren was just talking about, If you put those together, what they found was that it did, in fact, increase consumption of those vegetables by the households that participated in this particular project. And this one was in Tanzania. But along the way, I got to see, this was in Cape Town, South Africa, I got to see some beautiful sights and meet some nice friends. In the background is Table Mountain, which if you're in Cape Town, it's just sort of, it's in almost every picture that you take because it's so, it's like larger than life, a very nice backdrop. They are having a severe water shortage in South Africa, and so I was interested in some of the ways they were communicating this. They were trying to get everyone to take a shower for 2 minutes or less. I discovered that that's really challenging, really challenging. But they also had these little drink coasters. It said, "We recycle all the water you flush into ice cubes at the bar." And then it said, "Okay, not really, but please be kind to the planet and flush with care." And then it goes on to give you some details on the advice. But they're definitely taking the water shortage very seriously, and they have to because it's very acute. Here we were at a conference promoting nutritious indigenous vegetables, and on my way to the conference, I see this sign where the city was proudly announcing that this was the first Burger King store in South Africa, and the mayor opened it up in 2013, and they were very proud of that. I won't say anything further. And then I found this sign to be quite cute. This bar in the shopping area had husband daycare. So it said, "You could drop off your husband with them, and they would take care of him. All you had to do was pay for his food and drink, and you could go off and do your shopping and leave him in good care." And I remember texting my husband at the time, and he said, "Sign me up. I'll be happy to sit in the bar while you go shopping." So the coast of the Cape in South Africa is absolutely stunning. And these are just some pictures from there. And they have a penguin colony that was really fun to watch. I felt really sad, though, for the poor penguins that are molting because they can't get in the water for, like, several weeks. And it's so hot. I mean, it's super hot there. And the poor things were sitting on the beach. And they did look miserable, and all their feathers were falling out. But the penguin colony is definitely something worth seeing. And then they have this beautiful botanical garden there in Cape Town. And every view is just a stunning view that you have to take a picture of because they have the beautiful mountains in the background and then these gorgeous plantings. And I don't remember how many hectares this park is, but it's massive. I mean, I was there for 6 hours and I didn't begin to see all of it. So gorgeous collections of flowers, just absolutely stunning. And I guess I've just put in a couple to show you. If you get the chance, I highly recommend you go. I guess it's been just over a year and a half ago that the Horticulture Innovation Lab went to Guinea to do a post-harvest training. And we have a training and services center there in Kindia, Guinea, which is out in the rural areas. I had a delightful time visiting Guinea. These are some of the people from the course. We were teaching them how to dry products with the solar dryer and how to build the solar dryer. So they're showing off some of the dried products here. In the course, the room was just packed with people. They were absolutely attentive for the entire time, despite the fact that it was really hot in there, but everyone paid attention from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. We had demonstrations and lab experiments where they looked at the effects of temperature and the effects of water loss on a range of different products. They assessed the quality themselves. And then we did this fun test where they learned about packaging. So they were given some supplies. They were given cardboard, paper, some straw, string, tape, and then they were divided up into groups, and each group was to create a package to hold 6 eggs. And they could create the package any way they wanted, but then the packages were graded based on size, appearance, and then the final test was whether the eggs would survive when we dropped the package. So first we got up on the counter and we dropped the package on the floor, and none of them broke. So then we tried dropping them a little bit higher within the room, and still there were several that broke, but some packages, no eggs broke. So then we threw them out the window. So had everyone outside downstairs, and my colleague threw the packages out. And you can see here the results. This one package that was doing so well, only one egg broke. But anyway, this really got the audience engaged, and they had a fabulous time with this. I just really enjoyed interacting with the folks there. They were amazing. Okay, I'm running out of time. So let's see. I think I'll just show one additional Trellis Fund experience. So Lauren shared a little bit of her video about the Trellis Fund, and this is another Trellis Fund student who went to Uganda.
Hello, my name is Carla Huerta, and I've been working with the Trellis Fund in Uganda in an organization called Eurect Uganda, where we are doing some women training sessions in sutures and mango trees. And today we just had our first discussion where we learned so much about the different challenges that women have in agriculture. We just finished and we have a lot of different points of view, and right now we are in our lunch break. As soon as we finish, we're going to go back to keep talking and discussing more about these issues.
Hello, today we're going to be doing the cleaning of the demonstration plot, and we're going to be planting today. We're also going to be planting some legumes apart from the trees that we were already planted. So we are going to learn a little bit about intercropping. These are all the women working right now.
Right.
So this is...
Hola.
This is Andrew. And he's also working in the project with us.
So today we're going to have our final day of training workshop. It's going to be a ceremony, and we're going to be giving away certificates for the ladies. We're going to have a celebration, and let's hope it's going to be very fun.
Okay, so recently I went to Rwanda. The Horticulture Innovation Labs had an ongoing project in Rwanda for a number of years. And when I was here on this last visit, we went to a farm and saw post-harvest handling and harvesting of green beans, which was quite interesting. And we visited a wholesale market where they were selling fruits and vegetables, and they had installed a cold room, so they were starting to implement some good post-harvest practices. But I was quite impressed with these gentlemen in the upper right corner. These gentlemen were using bicycles to transport containers of milk to market. And my understanding is that they go like 4 or 5 hours from the rural areas to the city to carry this milk to market. So very, very challenging. And there's a lot of hills in Rwanda. It's the country of many hills. So I have one final video to share with you. So last year, we had our annual conference in Rwanda, and we always try to bring in some sort of cultural experience for the people who come from all over the world to our conference. And so this one, we had some local Rwandan entertainment, which was really enjoyable, and this is just one of the performances. Whoops, that didn't work. These gentlemen and women perform for a number of hours, and we all really enjoyed it. So a travelogue wouldn't be completely complete without talking about some of my travels in California. I just have a few slides, and I'll wrap it up. So my husband surprised me on our anniversary with a hot air balloon trip in Napa Valley, California. I've always wanted to do this, and I highly recommend it, whether it's in California or somewhere else. Lots and lots of fun. These are some beautiful images of Lake Tahoe, California. Particularly in the wintertime, it's especially beautiful, nice skiing, but of course, it's nice in the summer as well. And we took a trip to the Mendocino Coast a few years ago. And again, absolutely stunning. This is just a couple hours north of San Francisco on the coast. And with that, I would like to say thanks a lot for your attention. Hopefully you enjoyed a little bit of hearing about how wonderful it is to be able to travel around the world if you're not able to do that yet. These are some of the side benefits that you get from that, learning about other people's cultures, but also getting to see the world, and really getting to see the world more of an inside look, you know, not just the tourist places, but you know, really getting to see how people live and getting to meet the people. So that's why I find it so rewarding to travel as part of my job. So thanks for listening.